My name is Nada Ahmed, and I am your host for the Braving Innovation Podcast. I believe every company and team can bring new products and services to market and achieve immense success in creating sustainable and profitable business models. Through this podcast, I bring to you inspiring stories, tips, and strategies from leaders all around the world so that you can excel on your journey as an entrepreneur, innovation leader, and investor. Welcome to Braving Innovation.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Braving Innovation. This is our 9th episode, so I'm really happy. For those of you who've been following, I've had some fabulous guests join us, and it's really been an exciting journey. Today, I wanted to do a solo episode to talk about a topic that I'm really passionate about, and that is around the topic of traction. How do you get exponential growth, especially as either an early startup or as a corporate who is trying to launch a new product? But I'll also talk to you about, if you're in a corporate setting, if you are stagnating a little bit with your product, your sales are not going up and reached a plateau, what can you do to really sort of be able to climb that curve again and get more customers? Or if you see that there's a decline happening. So what we'll talk about today will be relevant for a wide range of problems and people who are either working in corporate or startup or dealing with different challenges. And why traction is so important is because your product itself is not of value until customers start using it, unless you start getting some customer interaction. And often founders, people working with the products, product leads within big corporations, launching something new, it's very easy to fall in love with our product. And it's kind of natural. It is our baby. It's something that we've created. And what we might deprioritize is actually the customer interaction part and focusing on how are we going to get that first customer on board? How are we going to validate what we're creating, that there's actually a need for that? I'm a strong believer, and I say this to everyone that I work with, all the teams that I worked with, and also the startups that I'm advising at the moment, is spend an equal amount on product development and on marketing, on customer acquisition, and really figuring out what your message needs to be to the customer and start interacting with them early on. So even if your product's not quite ready yet, you can use a lot of different techniques to start getting that initial feedback that you need so that your product is ready for market. So you can make the required tweaks. So not only you're setting up a strategy through which as soon as your product's ready to launch, you can start getting in customers. You're also using that constant feedback that you're getting to make sure the product is aligned with the market, is aligned with what your customers need. So there's a really good book I would recommend here called Traction by Gabriel Weinberg and Justin Mars. I highly recommend it. A lot of what I'll talk about is also discussed in this book. And you can reach out to me if you have any questions. And so early on, deciding to put a focus on customer traction. How are you going to start getting customers to interact with you? And I also want to add that this is equally important for B2C customers as B2B customers. So not only something that you should be considering, like if you think you're sort of a business to consumer market, but also equally important if you're a business to business market, you need to start getting out there and interacting with the customers. And this might mean that you have to make equal amounts of investments on figuring out your traction and your product development so that you're giving them equal weightage, because you could have a fabulous product, but if you're not going to be able to quickly get customers on board and produce something that's not aligned, it's going to just take you back into developing it again to be something that the customers need. So it's really about preventing that superfluous work that you can really avoid if you are more in tune with the customer's need and doing that early on. So invest an equal amount of times. That's kind of my first thing I often say to customers is don't do it in chunks. Now I'm going to do product development. Now I'm going to do my marketing. Now I'm going to do my product development. Now I'm going to spend time on customer acquisition. It's sounds like, okay, you're focusing on one thing, but you really need to make sure that this is done in tandem, because these are not separate activities. Actually, your product development is very dependent on the feedback that you're getting from your customers. And so it has to be done in tandem because they're feeding off of each other. You're aligning your product with what the market needs. When I work with innovation, I often talk about the mindset and really applying these agile methodologies and working in a lean way. That's how we develop products. Particularly, this is something that we're used to in software development, but something that we forget when we're working with our marketing, right? That you can apply the same agile methodologies, the lean startup mindset principles in how you actually acquire customers. So what that means is that you're experimenting, you're testing, and you're iterating. So when you're figuring out, okay, how are you going to get your customers? You want to get more traction. As a startup in particular, your main objective is to grow, right? Create that product and alongside get that growth, as grow as fast as you can, because you need momentum, in particular if you're going to be depending on investors. There's a special emphasis on that if you're going to be getting VC money, but even if you're going to get other private investors on board, angel investors or corporates on board, they want to be able to see that there is attraction, that there is progress, that more customers are coming on board. So you want to be able to show that. And When we talk about traction and the way that it's kind of phrased in this book, traction is really all around exploring all your channels of acquiring customers. So not really only focusing on the customer the channels that you are most comfortable with, but focusing on a wide variety of channels that sometimes you might not have even heard of that you could use to market and acquire customers. So there's sort of, you can have up to 30 different channels that you could be exploring at the same time. So when I work with customers, what I often tend to do is we run a workshop where it's a brainstorming around your traction strategy. And we look at all possible traction channels that could include search engine optimization, that could include blogs, that could include launch events, that could include a whole range of variety of, so not limiting yourself at all to something that you're comfortable with, which might be direct sales if you're in B2B environment and that's how you sell most of your products. You might want to look at how you could use social media. How could you use some other channels that are underutilized in the area that you're working on currently? So really brainstorming and then having an idea for each one of these channels. So if you're able to list 20 channels, 30 channels for where you could actually be acquiring customers, figure out a good idea to actually use that channel. And using the lean startup methodology is find ways to cheaply experiment and test those channels. So it's all led by experimentation, right? Make sure that you're testing as you go along, just like you would do with your product. This is as essential for your marketing, for acquiring your customers, figuring out what channel is going to work best for you to get the customer. So you're testing, and then through the testing, you can have some initial hypothesis of what is working, what is going to work best for you. It could be Google Ads, social media ads. That's where I want to go. That's going to work best for me. So you test that. But test that against another channel that maybe you haven't used, which might be blogging. It might be going to influencers and using them to blog and talk about your product. And then seeing how does that compare with something that you've been using for a very long period of time or something that you're comfortable with. Are you still getting the same conversion rates or is another one better? And then by testing and experimenting, you can really hone in on what's my best source for getting the highest amount of customers, especially if you really have a specific traction goal that I need these many customers by this amount of time, then you really want to hone in on and spend time on those traction channels that are giving you the maximum amount of customers coming in. So super, super important. And often people don't realize is that instead of just focusing on a few channels, they can start with a broader strategy and experiment in very cheap ways, run small experiments and figure out which one of your traction channels is giving you the most amount of value. So, and as I said, this is going, it works really well for B2B customers and also for B2C customers. If you're in a B2B environment and you feel like you need to be a little bit more creative, this is a good way of testing and rethinking and applying this continuous experimentation methodology that we use in product development that we're quite familiar with, but also using it for marketing. So if you're out there, if you've tried this before, do give me your feedback. How has that worked for you? So Hamad here agreed that the lean startup methodology sounds like a good strategy. It is always a good strategy with whatever you do. Try to do it in a lean manner. A good way to test your different traction channels is do A/B testing. So that is really being able to compare how is this traction channel working versus another channel. This is what we do for products all the time, different features. So within one traction channel, you could be testing how does this kind of messaging works this kind of messaging and what kind of customers do I get on board when I try these different words, for example. So really being able to understand what kind of words actually resonate, what kind of messages actually resonate with your target audience that you really want to bring on board, and using this A/B testing. So a really great example of A/B testing, this is not from marketing, but from product, is of Airbnb, in which someone actually from the product team said from below that we need to have these listings of houses that for rent opening up on a different window versus leaving that browser, and that when you click on the listing, it exits you from that main browser and that listing opens, opening other windows of that listing. And that was super successful strategy. So they did A/B testing on this and they found out actually the conversion rate was a lot better when people were able to open them on a different window. And more people were then clicking on it and able to do this comparative analysis, right? And there was so much insight for Airbnb on that, understanding that that's what people are looking for. And when sometimes you can be so much in the weeds of your product, not realizing what your customer actually needs and wants. And it's actually a big hurdle for them to book a place if it's not so easy for them to be able to compare the different listings that are out there. So that was really a big success for them. Another point to take into account in terms of when you're looking for your traction channels is that you might have decided on one traction channel that works really well with you. Let's say you think it's Facebook. And after a while, it might reach some kind of a saturation. So really being aware that at what point have you saturated that channel? Maybe other people have come on board. There are too many people using that particular channel for marketing that it's not working that well for you anymore. And that's where you also need to be pivoting. So having that experimental and continuous innovation in your marketing is also super important. So keep that in mind, along with, of course, the biases that you have against certain channels because that's what you're used to using, right? And that's where diversity comes in, where you have different people within the team that you involve when you're creating your traction strategy. You involve a diverse group of people and they'll be able to say, well, you know, I actually follow a lot of influencers, and that's where we could actually reach a lot of our audience here. So really being aware of that as you are going along. So another thing to keep in mind is, one, knowing that you have to have your traction strategy together with your business, your product development strategy. Secondly, take a whole range of channels and test them. Thirdly, be very specific on your traction goals. So this is also where a lot of people go wrong, is that not really having a good understanding of we're testing, but what are we trying to achieve here? So your traction goal could be, we want to have this much revenue. We want to be profitable. So we want enough customers to make us profitable. Or it could be that by X amount of time, we have to raise funds. And to be able to do that, this is the amount of customer growth that we need to show This is where our what our curve for customer acquisition needs to be looking like. So really being very clear on and defining those goals for yourself, and that could be monthly goals or quarterly goals, but being explicit, putting them down, and putting them right next to these goals, next to your product development goals. So as you're working on your product development for this new feature, this new release, make sure alongside you have these attraction goals also, because like I said, you have to weigh them equally. They are equally important. And sometimes what happens within product development is that we get really excited about the product and we focus a lot on the features and we want to get all these other features on board. And lean startup is all about letting go of these vanity features that are not really adding a lot of value, but focusing on that core feature and getting feedback on that. Now, this is really important, especially when you're starting off early on launching your product, is focus on your core value proposition. You are a lean organization. You don't have a lot of resources on hand, and your main attention should be validating your core hypotheses. So for example, there's a service here that we use as a family. It's called OODA, and it's delivery of groceries at your home. So after we had kids, it was just so much more convenient to get our groceries delivered to us at our door. Now, that was the core service OODA offers me. That's the main value. The main benefit I get is I don't have to go shopping at a grocery store. It's the big pain point for me as a parent to make time to go do groceries. It's a lot easier for me to do it on the app. So that's the core value proposition. Now, over time, they're going to add more features that are going to be beneficial for me, but if they're not going to be able to deliver it to me in a smooth and seamless way at my doorstep, the other features are not going to matter to me. So they could have these really fancy features, maybe a collaboration with a fancy shop, which has really, you know, exquisite cuisine material available. Or they now have, for example, these really good recipes that you can kind of click on and then it buys all the ingredients for those recipes. Now, those are nice to have. I like those features over time, but in the beginning, what I really cared about is the core value proposition. And when, especially you as a service or a new service, and there are not many competitors, you need to test that and let go of all other features and focus on getting as many customers as possible in the beginning. So that traction of customers is super important. And your early customers, you'll also realize, we call them early adopters for a reason, is because they're more forgiving. I've been a user of OODA for a very long time, which is now a unicorn out of Norway. And they had very limited features and even very limited choice of what was available on their website of what I could order. But the benefit was so important for me. It was so valuable for me that it didn't matter. All the other features did not matter. I didn't need an exhaustive list of cereal that I could order. It's about having that focus, testing that core value proposition, and understanding that your early adopters will be more forgiving. Once you get that base and you're able to establish that now you have a core base of whatever your goal was, 10,000 customers on board, 20,000 customers on board, 100,000 customers on board, now you're going towards mainstream. And now you might want to consider adding these other features, especially if you're competing with another competitor who's able to provide those features, right? Now you have a solid growth that you can show to your next investment partner. I have this growth. We're on a growth trajectory. We're growing here. Look at what my data is showing you here. And now I need more money to do this next level of product development and also build a more sales force, marketing force, whatever you need. But really understanding what you need to prioritize and having that hyper focus from the beginning. Sometimes startups spend a lot of time future-proofing their product too early on. We're building this on this scalable technology. So it's available on all types of mobile platforms. It's cloud-enabled. All of these things, when it's really too early, you don't have customer base to really validate your hypothesis. You are pre-product market fit, but you are building something that's going to, you know, scale to get half of the market, but you haven't really validated yet, right? So you don't really need to make these optimizations so early on. You want to build it so that you can scale later on, but really focusing on what you need at this moment in time to validate your hypothesis and be able to show to the next investor that you can actually grow this company and that you understand what is important for you. Yeah. And then secondly, and I think another important thing that comes out of involving your customers early on, focusing on traction, is also in terms of your customer group that you've targeted, realizing that maybe not only your product might have pivoted, but your product might not have pivoted. What you might need to pivot on is your ideal customer. You might realize, well, we thought we created this for people between the ages of 20 and 30, but the people that really finding a lot of hit on this is from 50 plus, right? And realizing, what can we do to optimize our product to attract more people within the age group of 50 and 60, because that's where we're getting most of our conversion. So we actually, our assumption that the 20-30 range would be the most valuable, where we would provide the most value, was actually flawed. So really being also able to pivot on your market is super important. So just going back here, realizing it's the end of our time. A few of you joined in today. Hopefully you found this helpful. I am available for the next month, 30-minute coaching calls on your traction strategy. If you are struggling with customer growth and need some help and advice, do send me a DM. I'd be happy to schedule a call. So if you have anything that you would like to discuss, any specific questions, you can DM me. We can set up a 30-minute call and we can discuss this in more detail. And if you're listening to the recording, do also drop in a note if you found something I said interesting, it resonated with you, if you had a question, or if you've seen things differently than what I have noted here. That could also be a great learning for us. And any examples that you could share would also be super valuable. Thank you again for joining. I love getting your feedback. If you don't follow us on Spotify, on Apple Podcast, please do that. These live sessions are also available on Facebook and YouTube channels, so you can search under my name and you should be able to find them. I really enjoy coming on here. It's an honor to interact with you, for those of you particularly who join in live. And those of you also watch the recording and then leave a comment and let me know what you thought about this. I really, truly, truly appreciate it. So thank you for all your support. And follow me. And if there are any particular topics you would like me to discuss more in detail on, do also drop me a note and I'd love to know about that. Have a great rest of the day, wherever you're joining from, and I'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Braving Innovation Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, do hit subscribe so you do not miss any of our future episodes. Don't forget to leave us a review and share this podcast with others who might find it valuable. Thank you.